Aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Reverend Kevin McDonough, our Senate chaplain from the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis.
Good morning, Mr. President and Senators. We are in the days between the celebration of the birth of Dr. Martin Luther King and next week, the first anniversary of the death of his wife. And so I thought we might take just a moment as we begin to pray for your spouses, your kids, your significant others, your parents, all those who are making a significant sacrifice along with you in this community service. Why don't you think about those family members for a moment as I read just a few words from Coretta Scott King. So many people have asked me, Mrs. King wrote, how I felt about things happening to Martin. I thought I could anticipate and face them as realistically as possible without having the actual confrontation of the experiences. I thought about it as something I have to live with from day to day. It is ever present. I began to feel concern and was reacting. I was weak and depressed. I asked myself what was wrong with me, and I knew I could not live that way. I have to see my way clear. I have to find some kind of answer. I finally concluded that each of us experiences periods of development, and then you reach a plateau beyond which you do not go for a while. And so I had to renew my courage, my strength, my faith to go the additional distance. I had to prepare for the days ahead because I did not know what they would bring. Right now I do not know, but I believe God is working. We are co-workers with our God, trying to bring about a reign of genuine love and peace. And so if God feels free to use us, we must accept that will, knowing that all things work together for the good of those who love God. From this I gain consolation to continue. I believe that every person must dedicate himself or herself to what he or she believes. Let us pray. Gracious Maker, we dedicate to you all our loved ones at home, in town here, or at a distance. We ask that you bless them as you bless the Senate in its work. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. Amen.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonhoff, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Neville, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Parasol, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Wergen, and Wigger. Quorum is present.
Quorum is present. First order of business is reports of a committee. Senator Pogemiller.
I move that the committee reports printed in today's agenda be adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Next order of business is second reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of Senate bills. Next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are four authors' motions. Without objection, we'll take them as one motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President,
a couple of resolutions printed on today's agenda. Without objection, they will be referred to the Rules Committee. Next order of business is general order. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I have a couple motions to make first.
That's correct.
And I have talked to Senator Wieger.
We're still under motions.
Members, there are two two resolutions that came out of the Education Committee are on general orders, and I think typically we'd like those to go to the Rules Committee first. So I'd move that Senate File 28, number 2 on general orders, be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration.
Harry will read the motion.
Senator Pogermiller moves Senate File 28, number 2 on general orders, be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration.
All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, then I move that Senate File 13, number 3 on general orders, be stricken and re-referred to Committee on Rules and Administration.
Any discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Now we're on general orders. I think so. Yeah.
Calling him to make a motion. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. The committee shall now be in order. The committee has before it number one on general orders calendar for today. The chair recognizes the senator from Cook, Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee do arise, House File number 8 be recommended to pass.
Senator Bach has moved that when this committee do arise, that Senate File number 1 be recommended to pass. Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, House File number 8 is a federal conformity issue. Since we adjourned last May, there were three bills that were passed by our federal government that will allow some changes in federal taxable income when people file their Minnesota tax returns this year for Pay 06. I had discussions with the governor's office and the Department of Revenue in trying to expedite this bill because there are some reasons to try to get that on the governor's desk this week. When people start to file their returns, they will be able to take the deductions from their federal taxable income, and when they get to their adjusted gross income, their federal taxes will then be calculated. If we don't pass this bill, what will happen is when people then go to file their Minnesota income tax return, they will have to add back into their federal adjusted gross income the deductions that are allowed in this bill. So there's some reason to try and get this done before people start filing their tax returns for Pay 06, or they would have to file amended returns if we did this later on in the session. I would like to thank Senator Pappas, Senator Stump, and Senator Vickerman. There are provisions in this bill that their committees have jurisdiction over relative to higher ed or veterans or K-12 deductions that their committees might have wanted to see, but in the interest of time, they've agreed that the tax committee be the committee that deals with these tax deductions from people's adjusted gross income. Members, the bill has gotten quite a bit of ink in the newspaper, and what you generally hear about in the two major provisions of the bill are a higher education tuition credit, or deduction, I should say, from your adjusted gross income, up to $4,000. You can deduct from your adjusted gross income for allowable tuition expenses at higher educational institutions. That is the biggest money in the bill. That's about $18 million. The average filer, of which there'll be about 110,000 returns affected by this, the average tax filer can expect to save about $165 of their tax liability to the state. The other provision that's gotten quite a bit of ink is a provision that costs about $1 million. It affects about 54,000 teachers' returns in the state. The federal bill allowed for a $250 deduction from your taxable income for supplies that you purchase for the classroom. This would conform that so people would be able to take the same deduction from their taxable income on their Minnesota tax return, and the savings for a teacher in their state tax liability on average would be about $18. There are a number of other provisions in here, relatively small. There's some things for the business community in here, some accelerated depreciation where they make interior leasehold improvements and improvements in restaurants. There are some additional deductions for putting land into conservation easements. There's a veterans provision in here that under current law, combat pay cannot be used to put into an IRA contribution. This would allow people in the service to use their combat pay to put that towards an IRA contribution. Members, we generally conform with federal tax law changes, except in a very few cases. And that's what this bill does. It just updates the Minnesota tax law to conform with the bills that were recently passed by the federal government since we adjourned in May, and appreciate your support.
Discussion on House File Number 8. Senator Ortman, Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I just wanted to comment that the $165 that the average family would save in tuition and tuition deduction is approximately equivalent to the 4% increase that Minsky is proposing for tuition. So it could end up being a wash. Of course, they could also not raise tuition that much, which would be even better for students.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm very pleased to stand up today in support of this bill. This is an outstanding bill for Minnesotans. Minnesotans need tax relief. And I'm excited to say, and I think Minnesotans know, we can do even more today. Minnesotans have stepped up to the plate, members. Minnesotans have stepped up to the plate in our deficit, and they have paid their taxes over the last 4 years. And now, as a result, we have a surplus in the state of Minnesota. And there isn't a Minnesota taxpayer, Mr. Chairman, who doesn't know that we have a surplus in the 2006-2007 budget. This is a great day. Minnesotans have worked very hard. They've stepped up to the plate. And now we can offer them real tax relief. And so, members, I'm going to give you an opportunity to provide some real tax relief to hardworking Minnesotans. And, Mr. Chairman, I would like to offer the A6 amendment at this time.
Secretary will report the Ortman A6 amendment.
Senator Ortman moves to amend House File 8 as follows. Page 5, after line 22, insert section 4. This is the A-6 amendment.
Senator Ortman on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The A6 amendment is an exciting opportunity for you and for our Minnesotans, because today, as a result of our surplus, we can offer tuition tax credits to Minnesota families. We can offer them today with your vote yes. 470,000 Minnesotans will be given a $1,000 tax credit today in their 2006 taxes. Here's how it works. We have a surplus. We take $470 million out of our surplus, and we apply it to the tax payments of Minnesotans. So, Mr. Chairman, what happens is every person in Minnesota who files a tax return can qualify for a tax credit. After they figure out what their taxable income is, this applies to every single taxpayer, they get a $1,000 credit. If they owe less than $1,000 in taxes in 2006, they will get a refund, members. This is a refund for the lowest income earners in the state of Minnesota. They will get a refund if they invested in tuition. And let's talk about the type of tuition that qualifies. We are talking, members, an opportunity for you to help all of the families, 60,000 of them, who pay for one-half-day tuition for all-day kindergarten. I know Minnesotans care about all-day kindergarten, and your constituents are paying tuition. They will get a tax credit or a refund for the fact that they paid for tuition for all-day K, 60,000 of them. For non-public K-12, 84,000 taxpayers will get a tax credit and even a refund if they qualify. Let's get this relief back to Minnesotans, and let's get it back to Minnesotans right away. We have 112,000 members. Senator Pappas mentioned Minsky. We have 112,000 filers who will qualify for a tax credit up to $1,000 or a refund up to $1,000 for two-year programs at Minsky. Another 58,000 for four-year programs. 46,000 for University of Minnesota undergrads. They'll get credits or refunds if you adopt this amendment today. 48,000 for non-public four-year undergrads. 23,000 for career schools, cosmetology schools, other licensed programs. 40,000 for Minsky and University of Minnesota post-secondary graduates. Members, we can provide Minnesotans real tax relief. We can do it today. We can make an impact on the hardworking members in our community who pay these taxes. I hope every member will take this opportunity to step up to the plate and provide real tax relief for hardworking Minnesotans who wanted us to do something with that surplus, and they want us to do it in 2006. Make it real. Make it now. Make it 2006. Vote for this amendment. We can talk about the rest of the surplus another day, but let's make real impact today. Thank you, Mr. Chair. With that, I would ask for a roll call vote and the support of every member in this body.
Further discussion, then I want to talk to you. Further discussion on the motion to amend. Senator Bach.
Mr. Chairman, do we have to request hands for a roll call?
Yeah, we have three hands for roll call. There will be a roll call. Senator Bach.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, Senator Ortman, I'm disappointed. You know, I met with the governor's office. We had a good discussion in committee about this bill. I think Senator Limmer asked the only question. It was a good question about a charitable contribution part in the bill. And it passed out of the Senate Tax Committee without any dissent. And nobody abstained. I think it would be fair to say everybody voted for it. But apparently, Senator Ortman, you think the bill still needs some work. So I guess, Mr. President, I'll be asking the desk what the right motion might be to send this bill back to the Tax Committee so that we can do some additional work on it. But I think for now, Mr. Chairman, I just would request progress on House File 8.
House File 8 has been progress. Senator Pogemiller.
Would Senator Bach yield?
Senator Bach will yield. Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Bach, as I understand it, your concern is that perhaps the bill has not had an adequate discussion because a member of the Tax Committee is raising amendments on the floor that could have been offered in committee. Is that how I understand your thinking?
Senator Bach.
Well, Senator Pogemiller, I think Senator Ortman's amendment costs about $470 million, and I don't think we can adequately have a good discussion about it and engage the public in that discussion like we can in the committee process. That can't be done on the floor of the Senate. So I think if we want to move forward and turn this into something more than what it is, federal conformity, we need a chance to engage the public in that discussion, and that needs to happen in the committee process. So I'm disappointed that we're going down that road, but I think this is a pretty major amendment, a very large policy to do in a federal conformity bill, and we should give the public an opportunity to have input in the committee process.
Okay. The next order of business. Senator Rest, do you have a question on you? Committee has before it, is it Senate File number 4?
No, number 4, Senate File 19.
Senate File number 19, Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 19 relates to metropolitan government. A number of years ago, we established a legislative commission on metropolitan governance. And what this bill does is to repeal the provisions for the actual commission itself, but to reestablish the authority of the legislative committees to have that have jurisdiction over metropolitan government to reassert that that authority, and asking the Metropolitan Council in particular to make their reports directly to the legislative commission, legislative committees. It's fairly straightforward. The accountability is still there, but it's being done directly to the legislature rather than the intermediate step of having to use the legislative commission. There was no controversy in the committee on this, and I would appreciate your support.
Senator Restbo renews her motion that this committee do arise, that Senate File 19 be recommended to pass. Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, the question reoccurs on the motion that Senator Rest has made that Senate File 19 be recommended to pass, and all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Point
Senator
order,
Borgmiller,
Mr.
do you wish to rise the
Mr.
committee
President?
Report? Senator Limmer, excuse me.
A point
me.
Of order, Mr. President.
Senator Limmer states your point of order.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a few minutes ago, we were discussing Senate File 8, House File 8, federal tax conformity. The motion that was agreed upon was to progress the bill.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a motion. The author has the right to progress their own bill without a motion.
Mr. President, although we had a discussion that perhaps the best place for that bill was to go back to the tax committee so that the public could be further engaged in the process whether or not that bill should have some other things added to it. But progressing a bill simply means that it's left in the Senate. The author can bring it up at any time for a vote, sometimes without a lot of notice. We had the discussion, and I think most of us were following the idea that it would go back to the tax committee. Is it going to go back to the tax committee or is it not? That way our body can be better prepared in order to discuss this bill wherever it goes.
Well, Senator Bach has said publicly that it's going back to the committee, and for one senator, that's good enough for me. But Senator Bach, do you wish to?
Mr. Chairman, I think what I said was that I wanted to progress the bill and it would stay as Senate File 1 on general orders, and that I would be asking the desk later today what the proper motion might be next time we meet to bring the bill back to the tax committee for further discussion where we can engage the public in Senator Ortman's amendment and maybe other amendments that members might feel should be included in this bill. But Senator Limmer, I don't have that motion today. I don't know what the correct motion is. And I just thought, you know, we have the State of the State address today. I don't think we have time to be doing a bunch of other things on what I thought was an otherwise pretty clean bill that the Tax Committee unanimously supported. So I'll be asking the desk after we adjourn today what the motion is, and likely will suggest that happen next time we meet, which I believe is tomorrow.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. As we know, progressing a bill simply leaves it in this chamber. It does not authorize a bill to go back to committee, even though we may have discussed for at least 3 minutes that was the intent of the author, to bring that bill back to the committee. Mr. President, can one make a motion now to send that particular bill back, or would that be out of order in the order of the Senate agenda?
The bill isn't before us, Senator. It's because we're in committee now, and committee of the whole, we're not in the Senate, so can he make that motion later when we're resolved back to the... You're not in order right now, but we'll give you probably an option in a minute or two. That fair? Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the committee do now rise and report.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I move that the report of the committee of the whole, as kept by the secretary, be now adopted.
All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate's back in order. The next order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda. There's one change on page 2. Senate file 114 will be referred to the Environmental and Natural Resources Committee. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. Announcements of Senate interest, Senator Pogemiller. Senator, before that, Senator Chaudhry.
Thanks. Are we out of the committee of the whole now?
Yeah, we're out of the committee of the whole.
So, Mr. President, the Committee on Environment, the Environment Policy Committee, will meet immediately after the State of the State address. So we've got an item or two to get through, so I encourage members of the committee to get there right away.
Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. President, members, there will be a joint committee hearing of the Economic Development Finance Division and the Business and Labor Policy Committee meeting at 1:23 immediately after the governor's address.
Senator Betzold.
The State Government Budget Division will meet 30 minutes after the governor's State of the State address. We will be reviewing the capital improvement plans.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. President, the Public Safety Budget Division will meet at 3 o'clock in room 112.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I ask the Majority Leader a question?
Sure. That'd be fine. Senator Olson.
Mr. President, Senator Pogemiller, could you explain to me why in our committees that we are holding hearings for confirmation of commissioners that have already been confirmed? I've been around here a long time, and I don't recall that ever being the case. I know that you announced that we were going to have confirmation hearings early on, and I assume that was for new appointees, new commissioners. But I note that today in education, and I think in some other committees, there are current sitting commissioners that have already been confirmed that are being treated as if we have to go through that whole process again. And that does not seem to be in order.
Do you want to answer that, or I can? Senator Pogemiller?
Sure. They have to be confirmed. It's a new term of the governor. That's the way it works. The governor submitted them for confirmation. The committees are taking them up for confirmation.
They expire when, I mean, he gets reelected. He's got to redo it, the way I understand it. So, and that's always been the case.
Senator Mr. President, Olson. Could somebody, maybe I've got a good memory, but it's short, but I don't recall that happening either in Governor Perpich or Governor Carlson going through that process renewal of the term.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Yes, both Perpich and Carlson did submit them.
Yeah. That's...
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I would move... Oh, I need to make an announcement. Members, we have been asked by the office, by the desk, to please sign legibly. Senator Wergen has incredibly good penmanship. Others on this bill do not. I'm a violator, so we all need to sign these legibly. That would help the desk a lot. Members, we will gather at the back of the chamber. Senator Day, I don't see yours on this one. You're not one of the bad examples at this moment. Apparently, Senator Day, the desk is nodding that Senator Day has good penmanship.
Before Without objection, Senator Cohn will be excused from today's session. Senator Pogemiller.
Okay, members, we will gather to proceed over to the House after adjournment. And so, Mr. President, I'd move that we adjourn to Thursday, January 18th, 11 a.m.
On the motion to adjourn, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.